Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. Today, I'm going to review two normal ABV Zeugel or Zeugel type beers from a certain very narrow region in Bavaria, close to the Czech Republic. I'm looking in your direction, Hitler with relatives. I'm going to set these two bottom fermented Zeugel type beers up against each other. This week's two contestants are the Hegelwerther Zeugel and the other one is the Rauwetzer Zeugel.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant for this week is the Hegelwerther Zeugel, or Zeugel, from the Bavarian brewery Wieninger. I had a hard time figuring out the meaning of today's beer names. I think that Hegelwerther means approximately the high value, and Zeugel, or Zeugel, is a bottom fermented beer. Ein untergereigeset beer, which is brewed according to traditional methods within five towns in the Oberpfalz region, located in the east of the German state of Bavaria, adjacent to the Czech Republic. The German word for symbol is Zeichen, Zeichel, or Zeugel in the local dialect, hence the name Zeugel came to be associated with the bottom fermented beer consumed in this region. I had no idea. The ingredients in the Hegelwerther Zeugel beer assortment are accordingly with the Bayerischen Reinheitsgebot, water, barley malt, hops, and, should I guess, yeast. The best before date on this particular beer is the end of June 2023. I purchased this beer in late November 2022. It has been standing in my cooler since. The Hegelwerther Zeugel bottom fermented beer assortment comes in a size 50 centiliters, i.e. about 17 liquid ounces bottle. The three-folded bottle label is green and white. There is a church spire from the town of Teisendorf on the front label on this bottle. Teisendorf is a small town with, I guess, under 10,000 citizens today. That is where the brewery Wieninger is located. The Hegelwerther Zeugel beer assortment cost me 30 kroner, i.e. $2.90. That is 68 cents for every 4 hour. I mean, that is 68 cents for every 4 ounces of beer. What can you expect to get for that price? I have certain expectations on this beer despite its low price tag. $2.90 is actually not an exceptionally low price tag for a 17 ounces German lager beer. It is a pretty normal price tag. Systembolaget says that the preferred serving temperature on this beer is 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. I had problem uploading additional info from Systembolaget's website today. The brewery's website says nothing about preferred serving temperature. The beer isn't even represented on the Wieninger Brewery website. But it is a bottom fermented lager beer. So 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit cannot be far from the target. The Hegelwerther Zoysel beer assortment has got a 4.9% ABV. 4.9%. How about the experience then? I like the aroma. It's a little bit Pilsner-like. It's got about a one finger tall head. Exactly, for to be honest. Correct. And it's got a amber-like, fudgy-like, or I don't know. Amber-like, I would say, color. And so far, I can see my fingers through the glass, but supposedly it won't be. I won't be able to do that later on when I pour up the rest of the beer. So, orangey, almost in color, amber-like, light amber. Beer. As I said, it's not cloudy right now, but not much anyway. But as I pour up the last bit of beer, it's gonna probably get more cloudy. First impression. I like this German beer better than I like many other German beers or beers. Beers. In German. I think it's a high quality beer. But let's go through the list here. Richness, is it rich? Fairly rich, yeah, for a 4.9% beer. Yeah. Perhaps a little bit bread-like, I don't know, but it's a little bit yeasty anyway. Or pretty much, actually. I wouldn't say bread-like, it would be taking it too far. It's malty. Taste on my palate is maltiness, and it's a good taste. Yeastiness on my palate. Sweet or dry, I'd say that this beer is not very sweet. It's not very sweet. It's a little bit hoppy, perhaps, or bitter. I don't know. I don't think it's so bitter. It's a normal beer in bitterness, actually, a normal lager beer. It's not canned-like. I wouldn't. Some peach apricot like something, perhaps. I wouldn't call it very fruity, neither. But there might be some. Yeah, I don't know. Spices, let's see. There may very well be some spices, but I'm gonna pour up the rest of the beer now. It's a 17 ounces beer, liquid ounces. And yes, I cannot see my fingers through the glass any longer, and it's light brownish in color now. I'd say that there are some spices in it. But there shouldn't be. But I think that German Reinheitsgebot says, I mean, spices is not exactly part of the brew. And I think I've sensed spices in German Reinheitsgebot beers before. But I don't know. I actually don't know. The undertone is a little bit spicy. And the carbonation level, I don't know. I think it's pretty normal. Maybe up to the higher degree, a higher level. But we'll see about that in a minute. I feel like burping right now, but I'm not going to do it. It's not creamy. It's not acidic. And there are no aberrations. It's lager beer roasted, not very dark, not very light either, neither. But normal for a beer, a lager beer. But I don't think it's filtered. So this is an unfiltered lager beer. Let's see if there's any more taste or flavors in this beer. I have a template. I'm going to read it to you. Bread flavor with wort is the first template. Bit. I don't think I want to call it flavored with wort. It's not that prevalent anyway. And there's no pineapple in it. Pine needle, there's no pine needle. Apricot, yeah, perhaps, maybe. It's a little bit like that. Light bread, no. Banana, no. Luckily, there's no tampering with the yeast drinks at Wiener, at least not in this beer. It's not straw-like, it's not syrup-like. Not what I can sense. And there's no honey in it, no licorice, no clove, no fudge, no chocolate, no coffee, no raspberry. Excuse me, I think it's very high carbonation level in it. Excuse me again. Blueberry, no. Raspberry, did I say that? No. Mango, no. Tangerine, no. Raisin, no. And vanilla, no. Okay, what about grading then? What do I grade this beer? I grade this beer 7 devils out of 10 possible. Um, I think I'm gonna let it at that. Is a lager beer, so it can't get the most highest ratings. It's not likely that it would be so good that I'd grade it 9 or 10 or so, but 7 devils out of 10 possible. I think I'm gonna grade It's a fair grading, and it's a high grading for a lager beer. Okay, let's move on to our next contestant. I have eaten a dinner a moment ago, and that would probably enhance the taste of the next beer. Or the flavors of it. I think it does when you have eaten, or if you eat to beer. Anyway, our second contestant for this week is the bottom fermented beer assortment, Rauhetzer Zeugel, also a normal ABV lager beer from the brewery Nordhaft in the town of Marktredwitz in Bavaria. Bavaria. I guess that Zeugel beers are fermented twice. This one is at least. The beer assortment contains water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. It is, of course, a Bayerischen Reinheitsgebot beer. The best before date on this particular beer bottle is 21st of April 2023. I purchased this beer in late November 2022. It has been standing in my cooler since. At present date, it is early April 2023. The bottle contains 50 centiliters, i.e., about 17 liquid ounces. The two-folded bottle label is brownish in color. There is the top half of an eagle and the bottom half of a rudder wheel from a ship from 1882. Connected on both the upper and the lower label in red. I can tell since the year 1882 is printed on the label. The year 1882 must be the startup year for this brewery. Everything is in German on their website, but Rauhetzer Zeugel is their original beer assortment, with the recipe being from the year 1882. That much I know that I can interpret. And also, they say that this beer assortment is yeasty and cloudy. They say that it is a Hefetrübes Kellerbier. Hefe is yeast and Trübe is cloudy. Trübe is related to the Swedish word trubig, which can be interpreted as blunt, and Kellerbier is a cellar beer. This Zeugel beer could too cost 30 Swedish krona, i.e., about $2.90. That is 68 cents per 4 ounces of beer. 68 cents per 4 ounces of beer. Exactly the same price as the former beer assortment, and exactly the same size on the bottle. The preferred serving temperature for the Rauhetzer Zeugel is, according to Systembolaget, Zeugel anyway, that sounds Jewish. And they have on Zeugel beers, they have a Jewish star actually. It's been there for centuries, but they have taken them off their bottles nowadays in Germany. I don't know why. But anyway, the preferred serving temperature for the Rauhetzer Zeugel is, according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e., about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. But it is a bottom fermented lager beer, so 46 to 50%, 50 degrees Fahrenheit should be about right. Since this beer is actually presented on the brewery's website, I think it will taste great. The Rauhetzer Zeugel beer assortment has got a 5% ABV. 5%. How about the experience then? Okay. Yes. Not so much of an aroma as the former beer had. It is orangey. Also, this one is a little bit amber-like or orangey in color. And it's got a two-finger sole head. Amber, light amber, perhaps. I can see my fingers through the glass yet, but probably not later on when I pour off the rest of the beer. And it's, but it's not that cloudy now, no. And color, aroma, foam, first impression, let's see. First impression is like a lager pilsner beer, but without the negatives. Without the less good things about pilsners in the taste. I like it. It's it's pretty rich. It is. A little bit I would say that this beer tastes a little bit like wort bread, I think, or some sort of bread. It's not yet so yeasty, but let me pour up some more. Yeah, it's much more cloudy now. And a little bit yeasty, not very much, not so much as the former beer, but it's better like this. It's malty, definitely. It's bitter in the taste on my palate. Bitter. A little bit. What is that? It is. It's not it's not very sweet. More dry than sweet. And hoppy. It's bitter and hoppy, but still malty. I think you can have them both. But maybe now, when I've sensed it a bit, I'd say that it's more hoppy than malty. Or bitter, more bitter than malty. I think so. It's not candy-like. One moment. Excuse me. It's fruity in some sense, like lemon peels or yeah, lemon peels. In the taste, at least, if they have lemon peels in when they brew this beer, I don't know. And maybe some spices. The undertone is a little bit lemon-like. And the carbonation level is pretty high, I think. It's not creamy, of course. It's not acidic, and there are no aberrations, I think. It's a little bit of pine needle taste in it. And that is an aberration in my book, but not much. So let's forget about that. I can look past that. It's not very dark roasted, but it's not very light. I don't think it's, is it light? I don't know. It's not dark roasted anyway. And it's, not filtered, of course. Let's see here. Word, pineapple, pine needle, hints of apricot or apricot. Let's see. Pineapple, pine needle, no. Well, maybe pine needle, but I don't want to. I think it tastes better than if it had real pine needle taste in it. It's better. This is a better beer than pine needle beers. I don't think that's deliberate that they put pine needle taste in the beers. That's a backside of bad brewing or downside of bad brewing. But pine needle, no. No, I wouldn't say. Apricot, why not? I think so. Light bread, no. Banana, no. Straw, let's see. Maybe you could say that it's a little bit straw-like instead of pine needle-like. Not necessarily a bad thing, but well, it syrupy? I don't know, maybe. There might be a syrup in it, and that's not good. But I don't know actually. It's very difficult to discern flavors in beers. They are liquids, and liquids blend or mix. So it's not an easy job. It's not so easy as being a gourmet and know your food. It's easier because it's solid food mostly. This is not solid beer. So it's more difficult to review a beer than to review a dinner. Liquor, honey, licorice, clove, fudge. I'd almost say a little bit fudge-like. Fudge-like. Chocolate, coffee, raspberry, blueberry, mango, tangerine. Raisin and vanilla. No, not. Okay, what about grading then? I grade this beer also 7 devils out of 10 possible. It's well worth it. It's a good grading for a lager beer. Even on Zoigel beer, Zoigel or Zoigel beer. I don't know how they pronounce it, but it's maybe not following any rules, the word, because it stems from another word. It's slang or, yeah. Okay. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Before we delve into this week's lesson, I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had on an online platform. I was discussing IQ with another fellow. What is IQ? Is intelligence measurable? Yes, it is. But you have to know what you're measuring. The conversation that follows is slightly modified for the sake of understanding. I started the conversation. Here we go. I wrote the following pretty long text to start off a discussion. I myself have a somewhat uneven talent, but there is something better than having a high IQ, namely, having common sense. IQ doesn't say a damn thing about common sense. You can be the world's biggest conspiracy theorist and still have the world's highest IQ. In the computer world, they usually say when programming computers, shit in, shit out. This means that you have to know how to program to get something out of a computer that can be useful. The same goes for humans. IQ is a tool, but IQ alone does not create geniuses who can create something useful for humanity, in most cases anyway. This is why a man with not too high an IQ or mathematical talent, Albert Einstein, but who stood with both feet on the ground, was able to come up with a simple description of space-time. Don't get me wrong. Einstein had a high IQ, but he didn't rank among the people with the highest IQs. No, he was partly gifted in another way. When I enlisted, not the correct translation, but in lack of a better word, in the early 1980s, more emphasis was placed on spatial thinking than IQ in the military. They had, e.g., a Rubik's snake-like four-jointed string of cardboard boxes that you were supposed to unfold in your head. And the answer consisted of one of 10 possible options. If I remember correctly, you had to do well on this test to pass the telegraphy test. I did, but I failed the telegraphy test, falling just short to become a telegraph operator. However, I found even the most difficult cardboard box questions to be easy. Most people who talk about high IQ are just trying to redefine IQ so that they themselves appear more intelligent. So I can reassure you by saying that I am not particularly gifted in most subjects. There are certain subjects that I'm good at, of course. And he replied, yes, IQ is just a toolbox. It's important to use the tools for something meaningful as well. But spatial ability is an important part of what IQ tests measure. So it is very much included. End reply. I continued. Not when I tested myself in Mensa, it wasn't. The real test, not the decoy test to get more people to come and test themselves for money so that they will bring in money for their organization. I was stupid enough to fall for it. And he replied, No, Mensa only use Raven's matrices, right? These are also linked to work memory, so they test pattern recognition together with work memory. But they do not test people for three-dimensional spatial ability at all. So for people with some low results in sub-aspects, but with some other high results, it can turn out quite wrong. More serious tests measure the sub-skills separately. End reply. I continued, so you mean that these elite Mensa people are not testing in the way that gives the most accurate result? It's a rhetorical question. I've gotten over the age when I wanted to test myself in order to get a good result, just to feel better than others, albeit just barely. But nowadays, I would rather identify with empathetic people. But even they are not exempt from this idiocracy of categorizing people from the highest to the lowest, where the highest is most desirable. There is also EQ, emotional quota. I wish to learn how to be humble, but I think I suck at it myself. And that was the end of that conversation. Now to the lesson. This week's lesson I call IMINT and Small Tactical Unmanned Aerial Systems. Israeli ELTA's ELM 2070 is a lightweight synthetic aperture radar, SAR, for low Earth orbiting LEO image intelligence, i.e., IMINT. Satellites. Combining high maneuverability with multi-beam electronic antenna steering, the ELM 2070 is capable of covering large areas and providing high-resolution SAR images of up to 0.5 meters for any area of interest on the globe. Images can be produced in any weather condition and at any time during the day. The actual satellite weighs less than 300 kilograms here on Earth. It says on their website video that it takes less than 3 hours from tasking to dissemination, but not including dissemination or? There is the tactical Heron unmanned aerial system. It has a maximum takeoff weight of about 600 kilograms, with a maximum payload weight of 180 kilograms. And the UAS is 7.3 meters long. And it has a wingspan of 10.6 meters. That makes it too bulky, and it is very vulnerable for our purposes. But it does have an altitude ceiling of 7,000 meters. Good enough to avoid some surface-to-air missiles. But Israel Aerospace Industries, ELTA Systems Limited, has some years back introduced a new version of a lightweight synthetic aperture radar, SAR, ground-moving target indicator, GMTI, sensor, the EL/M2054, which is designed specifically to be small in form and size and have low weight and power consumption. This makes it suitable for mounting in a small tactical unmanned aerial system, i.e. a STUAS, a tactical vertical takeoff and landing VTOL platform, a light reconnaissance aircraft, or in an aerostat. The range of the SAR radar is 10 plus kilometers, depending on operation mode. And it can operate day or night under various weather conditions and can take very sharp SAR images in spot mode. The EL/M2054 can cover an area of 360 square kilometers per hour in sour strip mode. With continuous monitoring for the GMTI mode, one covers about 25 square kilometers. A typical installation in a STUAB weighs around 12 kilograms and consumes 250 watts. The EL/M2054 offers advanced capabilities from more compact, efficient electronics and signal processing capabilities. The airborne segment is provided with an onboard data processing system with cross-queuing of radar data to or from EO/IR and other sensors. The radar's two operating modes, strip and spot, provide sufficient sharpness and definition to detect and classify stationary targets while covering a large area. The GMTI mode supports the detection of ground targets with a large difference in velocity using enhanced dual band capability. There is a data segment that provides the system with mission analytical tools that enable imagery intelligence and GMTI in support of the tactical level. One includes, quote, automatic georeferencing of images, computer-aided target detection, tracking and classification, automatic change detection, imagery data manipulation, annotation and mensuration, end quote. The EL/M2054 is a highly anticipated and affordable system for a medium-sized UAS. It is a system that is perfectly suited for the defense of Gotland and Skåne. However, it is vulnerable to anti-aircraft fire and should only be used at night. There is also a larger variant called the EL/M2055, which is much heavier, 38 to 60 kilograms, consumes more power, 800 to 850 watts, and requires a larger platform, but it can operate at higher altitudes and cover larger areas, 40 to 80 kilometers. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.